All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our Planning You Can Trust podcast. My name is Cameron Jalbert. I am a financial planner with Chatterton & Associates. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing another financial planner with our team, Mr. Eric O. First off, I want to congratulate you on the new designation that you've received recently, and that's the topic of today's podcast. And that abbreviated is called the CHSNC, right. Which is kind of a long one. So
it is.
Let's just jump into that and maybe explain to our listeners, what is this new designation?
So the CHSNC is a designation that's offered by the American College, and it stands for the Chartered Special Needs Consultant. And the reason why I pursued this certification was, you know, over the last decade or so or more that I've been working with all sorts of different families, I've had the chance to take on some clients that have family members with disabilities that they want to make sure are financially taken care of after their passing. And I realized how little I knew about this space. And as the years went on, I, you know, started to learn a little bit more about the process and the intricacies of it. And then I found a designation that I can pursue to increase my knowledge and my education in this area. And so, you know, if you look at some of the statistics, according to the American College, in the U.S. alone, 1 in 4 people have a disability.
Wow.
And they say something like 55% of households that have a caregiver, the caregivers would state that they don't even know where to start because the complexities of all the, you know, government-sponsored programs, where do you get the resources from, who do you go to for help, and then where do you start the planning process?
Sure.
So these are all things that I thought that I can sharpen my skills on. And definitely am happy that I had pursued this certification because I definitely did learn a lot during the process.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things, I think, because we have the 3-in-1 office, right? We have the estate planning attorneys, the tax planners, and then the financial planners. It's something that I think was more prevalent to us seeing the different estate planning scenarios that we go to and seeing how overwhelmed a family can be when it comes to planning for that kind of niche. And it's not something that a lot of, you know, people have in their wheelhouse. So I think for, you know, us, for you to have that skill set and to be able to offer that to, you know, 25% of people, you know, from those statistics is such a powerful tool.
You know, financial planning and estate planning can be stressful in itself.
Sure.
Even without planning for disabilities.
Yeah.
And so when you throw in the idea that somebody or, you know, one of the family members has a disability and is relying on government assistance.
Yeah, I think that's the scary part too, is the government assistance. The last thing the family wants is to make them, you know, uneligible for that.
Correct. So. And we don't know what we don't know. And, you know, there's a lot of different gray areas that we have to look at. So there's that part of it. There's the part of just planning out the everyday lives of these people. You know, how do you get them to their therapy sessions and transportation, affordable housing?
Sure.
All those things are things to really encompass. On top of that, just understanding the emotional aspect of it. You know, each disability can be different from the other disabilities. And so we need to better understand what the needs are of that person. And the fact of the matter is that some people can have multiple disabilities. Mm-hmm. So that adds on top of it. And so, you know, these are all things that we need a better understanding of. And, you know, we have the skill set as a firm and as an office to look at the tax aspect of it, the estate planning aspect of it, the financial planning aspect of it. But how do we encompass all of that and bring it together to help create a plan for this person with a disability?
Absolutely. You mentioned a little bit about families and caregivers. You know, are there solutions that can help the families and caregivers, you know, take some of those financial burdens, you know, away from them, or some examples of that maybe?
So from a financial or estate planning standpoint, one of the most common tools that are used is something called a special needs trust. And these are typically irrevocable trusts that are set up. They're not your family living trust, but they're typically separate from that. And they would have special provisions that allow the person with a disability to inherit assets, not directly, they're being held in trust, and have those assets disregarded from eligibility for Medicaid or SSI sure. and things like that.
So they can still collect those government assistance programs while having
potentially inheritance yes.
or you know other assets held
correct
protected but, for them.
You know, with any kind of trust, we have to think about the legal costs of doing it,
sure.
the administrative costs, and then the ongoing expenses of keeping that trust going. So these are all things that we have to take into consideration. And for that simple reason, because these trusts can be complex, a lot of people just opt to never even start the planning. Mm-hmm. And they wait to way too late to try and do it, and it becomes overwhelming, correct.
Yeah.
And so there are some simpler solutions that can possibly help fill the gaps. It's not a one-size-fits-all by any means, but in 2015, I believe, Congress passed something called the ABLE Act. And so now there are these accounts that can be set up called an ABLE account. And they work very similarly to the way that 529s are administered for okay. education savings accounts. So there are multiple states throughout the U.S. that sponsor these, and they are state-sponsored. And so you would need to find an ABLE account, typically through the state administrator's website.
For whatever state you live in.
Correct. It doesn't have to be the state that you actually live in.
Oh, okay.
And so each state has a different rule based on jurisdiction and everything like that. But I believe in California, you can have another state's ABLE account.
Okay.
Just like we can use another state's 529
sure.
account.
Sure.
And so definitely you would want to learn about your state laws a little bit closer before looking into them. But they would allow you to put away potentially up to $100,000 in gifts and have that money not count towards the Medicaid eligibility. However, the main difference here is that when the person with disability passes away, mm-hmm. whatever is left in the ABLE account may be subject to a Medicaid payback.
Okay.
Whereas a special needs trust, if it's a third party funded special needs trust, would not have to be potentially paid back to Medicaid.
Sure.
So those are the major differences.
You're talking about some big do's and don'ts.
There's a lot to think about.
I mean, you think about just estate planning, financial planning on its own, like you mentioned, is very complex. So, you know, adding special needs trust, adding an individual with a disability, you know, just really takes things to that next level of complication. So, you know, for our listeners out there, if someone has a special needs trust or they don't have a special needs trust, you know, where would you point them to start just in making sure that either they have the right plan in place or they create the right
plan? So it would definitely start just like any financial planning engagement starts by meeting with the right professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And that would typically be a financial planner, preferably a certified financial planner mm-hmm. that has a background in special needs planning, such
sure.
as the CHSNC, or has a lot of experience working in estate planning.
Sure.
And then, you know, you would definitely want a tax expert that you can consult with, along with an estate planning attorney. And that's something that we are able to offer in our office. And not to mention, you know, we mentioned the special needs trust and the possibility of an ABLE account. The other thing that we have to take into consideration is that today, a lot of retirees depend on their 401ks or IRA investments to help them get through retirement.
Sure,
that's
sure.
the biggest retirement savings that we see. And these vehicles are not very well suited to leave to a beneficiary with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those instances, if you do have to leave an IRA to a beneficiary with disability, you definitely want to look at setting up some kind of special needs trust to mm-hmm. hold that IRA
to protect those assets.
Correct, because those distributions, those automatic distributions or required minimum distributions that have to go out each year, that would definitely disqualify them from, you know, Medicaid
government
or Medi-Cal,
which would be the worst circumstance.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you've mentioned several big high-level things that relate to normal planning and special needs planning.
Correct.
So I think just to emphasize, you know, to our listeners out there, if you have any situation like that, you know, we have a team instilled here with the specific skill set. And again, to congratulate Eric on his new designation in this kind of niche field.
Thank you.
I think is a very powerful thing for everyone to be aware of. So
absolutely.
Thank you for listening and thank you for joining us, folks. As always, you can find more articles and videos and podcasts on our website, chattertoninc.com/resources. So thanks again for joining us, and we will catch you on the next one. Take care.
Thank you, everyone.